Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahariryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Yaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Sandarbha Adhyayana 1 Adhikarana 1 Description of the Bhakti Yoga Process Anucheda 15 Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.20 Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.3, it is said that out of many thousands of ordinary men, one fortunate man endeavors for perfection in life. Mostly men are conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus they are engaged always in lust, desire, hankerings, ignorance, and sleep. Out of many such man-like animals, there is actually a man who knows the responsibility of human life, and thus tries to make the life perfect by following the prescribed duties. And out of many thousands of such persons who have thus attained success in human life, one may know scientifically about the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. In the same Bhagavad Gita 18.55, it is also said that scientific knowledge of Sri Krishna is understood only by the process of devotional service, bhakti yoga. Right? Because, as we mentioned before, scientific knowledge means the philosophical knowledge that's been practically applied. You know, that's scientific knowledge. Right? So only through bhakti can that happen. Because if you're knowing the Lord, He can only be known through devotion. And since then it's only through action that you can know the Lord, that means that it has to be science. And that science has to be based on pure devotion and applied in pure devotion, then only the Lord reveals Himself. Yeah. The very same thing is confirmed herein in the above words. No ordinary man, or even one who has attained success in human life, can scientifically or perfectly... can know scientifically or perfectly the personality of Godhead. Perfection of human life is attained when one can understand that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. And as soon as one understands he is nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. This attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passion and ignorance, or in other words, when one is actually a brahmana by qualification. A brahmana is the symbol of sattva-guna, or the mode of goodness, and others who are not in the mode of goodness are either kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, or less than the shudras. The brahminical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one at least qualifies as a brahman. That aspect that you're going to be engaged in the duties, as it mentioned here, is that the regular person just goes on how he is, you know, with the animal propensities. But then human life means that you actually understand the duties of human life, which is to elevate yourself. So that means you follow the duties. So that then it says, and that, you know, makes one sick perfect, you know, on that human platform. Because now you're following the duties of that. And so to do that, then that means you have to be situated in goodness. Right? And then naturally, then the devotee is in pure goodness because he's doing that to please the Lord. Right? If you do anything So one may think that, oh, then we're above this, we don't do anything. But that's a Mayavadi concept, is that spiritual means doing nothing. Right? It's an impersonal concept. Actual spiritual concept is that we're a person, God's a person, so therefore then it means performing in action in relationship to the Lord. It's just a matter of what you're doing. It's just like kids are busy and they're doing some nonsense, so the solution's not that they do nothing. The solution is they do something valuable. Right? So that's what we see in life. So science is based on it means it's projection. You can see it. It starts with the Shastra, then through Anuman, then through inference, then you start to see how did that philosophy apply to me in the situation I'm in. And then when you can apply it, you can see it. It works. Right? So then that's the science. So it's seeable. You can actually see. What is successful, you can see. It means there's plenty of theories that cannot be applied. People have tried, it's not successful, it's obvious. Right? But it's when it's successful, you can see the success. Right? That's science. Right? Because they say we want to see with the senses. Problem is they want to start with the senses instead of ending with the senses. So that's why then there's a failure. Right? So now, if we take it that we're being scientific and we can't see God, because you're not following the process to see God. You don't start by seeing, and then it goes up from there. You start from what's the actual Shastric understanding. Then it comes down to you being able to see. Right? Because that's how science works. It's applying the theory. There's no, until I see God, I'm not going to follow. That's why, okay. So how many people in the city, until they've seen the mayor and seen the city council, seeing the governor, then only they're going to follow the rules of that particular city or state. Or they've seen the president. You know what I'm saying? Because then they say, oh, I can show you a picture. No, I have to see him directly. So who has seen the president directly, personally? They've actually seen him, gone up, shook his hand. Right? How many? A few hundred, a few thousand? So what did the rest of the million do? Then they are all doubters and that. There is no president, it's a conspiracy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a reptile.
Yeah, he is. Shape-changing reptile. Is that every president? Only certain presidents?
Only American presidents.
Oh, only American. Okay, that's it. Because I was having the doubt that, how could it be every president? But it's no, because then it's only the American presidents.
Putin?
No, Putin. Putin's just a rascal.
He's not a shape-changing reptile. Yeah, he did leave out the shape-changing. So. Whatever. So does that mean it goes back that actually then George Washington was the original shape-changing rep? That means we've been associated with the aliens since back then. Yes?
There's one episode of Srila Prabhupada in Mauritius, and then reporters came. And, simple people, because Mauritius, it's an island, it's a pretty simple environment. He actually was invited by a prime minister of the country.
Oh, wow. That's
so there's a conversation, really sweet. And then, the usual question comes. So this is all nice, because it's all Hindu scene. And then, but what do you do for the humanity at large? How do you improve humanity? And then Srila Prabhupada, he chuckles, and he looks just for a moment, and he says, we're making human beings from animals. And then he looks at his disciples. And that's it. It's like he doesn't comment. And leaves it to them, how about that?
Yeah, what do you do for humanity? Yeah. We're actually producing humanity.
Yeah. So it's actually proved you know, pratyaksha, you can see the change, and yes, it's very yes. scientific.
Yes, yes.
So people, and they were just disarmed. They just continued, you know, asking
some other question.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. It's very nice.
Also, Maharaj, it's Vedanta Darshan. Darshan means it's a way of seeing things.
Seeing, yeah. That you sing the Vedanta. So you have to know Vedanta, apply it, then you can see. Because they're thinking, if I see, then only I'll apply, and then what? You know, then you'll end up with a nice, you know, what do you call it? You know, loaf of French bread or, you know, something. I mean, what do you get? You've already seen God, so then what's the endeavor going to produce? No, if you hear about that, then you apply it, then you can see. You know? So that's actual science. So that's why Prabhupada says, it's modern science and all this. This is not real knowledge for the humans. It's knowledge. Because knowledge basically means, as we were saying before, it's data that you select from that, something that you feel is important, you know, and then having selected that, studying that becomes knowledge. But the point is knowledge, real knowledge means what's knowledge that's valuable to the soul proper. Like that. Because this other knowledge may be beneficial for the body, but the point is the body's temporary. That means the having of that knowledge and the use of that knowledge is temporary. So we're looking for eternal knowledge that has eternal use for the eternal soul. Right? Yeah. So here is that when it comes to Brahman, so minimum of Brahman. Brahman means is that you follow the duties because they should be done and you see the purpose of them. That's Brahminical. It doesn't necessarily mean that, because when we say Brahman, we be mind the consciousness, like that, and that principle of endeavor based on the Shastras. We're not talking about that they necessarily doing puja all day or this kind of thing. It means if that one has that, then yes, then you are going to function within that capacity for your occupation in the varna. But if you don't, the ashrams is based on Brahminical. That's what it's based about. So it's going to be you perform your activities in your life based on Shastra. And then the goal has to be for Krishna. So it has to be understood through that process of connecting with Krishna. So that's why then the varnashram aspects in these are simply used to please Krishna. Right? Because to not follow them, who's to benefit? Because the soul doesn't benefit because you say, oh, we're devotees, but you're not doing something devotional. Right? Daiva varnashram means you take all the activities and all the duties you do in a day and connect them to Krishna. If you say, oh, we don't care for varnashram, how do you connect all the things you do during the day to Krishna? What's the method? You know, because we go through a mechanical process. It's called Vaidhi. You know, if you're spontaneous on the platform of Rag, then you'll be just absorbed in hearing and chanting and you don't have to worry about anything else. But I have yet to see one person, one, who's ever said, oh, we're devotees, you don't follow the rules, and oh, that's fanatic, or any of those, you know, pat answers, that is doing that. They all mean is, I want to live my Western Malecha Yavana lifestyle, you know, I mean, freed from, you know, meat eating and all that kind of jazz. And just the way I like, the way I grew up, and no one should say anything because, you know, then I will feel disturbed because this is my identity. And this is, I'm adding to it devotional service. Right? Some attempts. Now, if you have someone that are just hardcore Sankirtan, book distribution, anything else is Maya, they can be excused for saying this. But they're engaged in book distribution all day, thinking, they think book distribution, they sleep book distribution, they eat book distribution, everything they do is book distribution. So, okay, you let them go. Because at least they're fully engaged. They don't care about varnashram, but they're fully engaged. But if someone is that, you know, there are regular things and this and that, and the family and being practical Prabhu and all this kind of that, then it's going to be weak because what's the technique to connect it? So that's why it's varnashram. Because Prabhupada mentioned, we say Hindu society. Prabhupada says Hindu is not the Vedic word. You don't find it in history. He says the term is varnashram. That's what makes them. So they're varnashramites, or whatever you want to call them. Right? That makes the Vedic culture. So Vedic culture is, it means they follow varnashram. That's what makes them. Not Hindu. Because you say, oh, Hindu, they do all these rituals. This, but how do you hold that together? It's varnashram holds that together. And then you may emphasize this, that, or other things. So that's the basics. That's the culture. That's the religion. So if you have... if you accept the philosophy but not the religion, you'll end it with speculation, as we see going on nowadays. Speculating on, do we do like this or that or this, you know, so many different things. Because it's not clear, because it's not based on what are your duties. So if it's not based on the Brahminical culture, it will be speculative. And then, since you're not using the Brahminical culture, what will be the replacement of culture, since you will do that? Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes the point, is either you follow the prescribed religion or you'll make your own up. There's no question that the conditioned living entity is going to not function on the principles of some variety of religion. You know, either they'll make, you know, impersonal, or they'll make money, you know, their religion, or some social ism, their religion, like that. They will do it. So that's the point, is one has to see is no, but that's why the Brahminical is there, because that means that what you're doing is based on Shastra. And so for us, that means based on what Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas have given us to do, based on Shastra. So we don't just take the Shastra without seeing it in the context of how Srila Prabhupada gave it. So the Shastra is about pure devotional service, that's been established. And so which duties of that, then Srila Prabhupada gives us. That the Acharyas give us. So it's the Varnashram that Prabhupada talks about, he'd already established before he left. So he's saying establishing Varnashram means people actually following it. It's not that there's some new information and new technique. No, he already gave all the technique, and he says everything's in the book. So whatever from Varnashram is important for the devotee has already been given. So the part of establishing it means it's done. Right? Like I say, let's say you establish something. You already have an idea. Establish doesn't mean you go out, okay, we're going to establish the temple here. So you go out on the land, sit down there, you know, and then you go, okay, now what are we going to do? No, you already have the plans, you already have everything, all that, you know, everything's there. Then you apply it. Then that's when you say it's established. Right? So this misnomer that, oh, it means we have to, you know, do research and start from scratch. No, Prabhupada's given whatever we need to use in Varnashram, because it's based on Brahminical, so that's the culture. Then if for your occupation, so that means Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, and the Brahminical Varna is all Brahminical, directly. Then, if you're engaged nicely with that, fully with that, that's good. But if you need something more for your occupation, then there's Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. All you have to do is add those, because that's how you make your money. That's how you maintain yourself. But you still follow the Vedic on what is the essential principles and all that, and how you apply that in your life. You know, because sometimes they're going, well, how do I connect the, you know, my work to my life? The point is, this work is there because it's varna. You have to do that to make your means grihasthas, they make their money, right? So then, how do they make their money, right? Brahmacharis make money. They have a job? No, they beg. They do their service. They're taken care of. Grihasthas go out and do something that produces money. So if you're not doing the Brahminical, as we already said, then that means then you're going to be left with Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. Like that. So are you involved in the administration? Are you involved in economics, you know, generating, you know, production? Or you're helping the others? It's simple. Yes?
So, the devotees, they want to function in these three, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. From where they will get the knowledge? From the Book of Prabhupada?
Yeah, Prabhupada also mentions. Point is, what's the essence of Kshatriya?
Protection.
That means what they're doing. So when anybody talks about management, is anybody talking about protecting those who are under them? They should be, but they're not. What do they talk about? Who's got the money? Who's got the manpower? So this is a Vaishya viewpoint. So how are you going to set up governance from a Vaishya viewpoint? It won't work. Because even you do it, the citizens won't be satisfied. Are the devotees of the movement satisfied by the top leadership, that they feel they're protected and people care and all that? No. Because the point is it has to be based on the Kshatriya principle. It's about protecting them and keeping them in order. But here, it's just about keeping them in order and getting money. It's not about protecting. And if you make a Shudra, then it's all about, you know, everybody's equal. What does it mean, everybody's equal? I'm poor, he's rich, he should be equal to me. Right? It means that's the reality. What he says is, he's rich, I'm poor, I should be rich like him. Where's the money going to come from? Because I'm not going to do it. I should just get it. You know, I mean, I am doing my, I'm sincerely engaged in my occupational duties, sitting on, keeping my couch warm. I'm sitting on my couch, I'm doing my duty. My couch is warm. You can come check. It's not cold where I'm sitting. You know, you want your part, you sit on it. You know? So, where in nature does that happen? The tiger just sits there. And he yawns, and animals walk straight into his mouth. Right? Is that how it works? The birds just—he wakes up in his morning, and he just, you know, breathes in, and all the berries and nuts from all over the field just come flying into his mouth. No, everybody works. So this idea of equality is that I'm going to get something for nothing. I mean, the closest you get to it in the real world is called gambling. I will do nothing and I'll get rich. I will buy how much are they those for those $1 million tickets? Yeah, at least, like those that pay $10 or something these days. Or,
the ones for that, yeah, I'm not sure.
Like that, you know, you pay some small amount of money and from this, if I win, I'm going to, you know, the lottery, I'm going to get $100 million, you know, like that. This is not real. It doesn't happen. You know, it's a business. The government never loses. They know they'll get this many tickets, and when they got this much money, then they'll give out this small portion, which is what you're talking about. And they'll give you your $100 million, and then because it comes from the government, like that, you've got your $100 million, but now there's a tax on it, because anything like this, then there's a 40% or whatever it is tax. They get money, so all they did, you know, this, you know, 60 they put out, but they made hundreds and hundreds. So it's business. It's not gambling for them. It's bad money because it came from a polluted consciousness. So therefore, governments that work off of taking, you know, these taxes off of bad money, that you see that with time the governments just go and they make bad decisions and the people don't like them. You know what I'm saying? But this idea that you don't see it anywhere, it's not scientific, it's a sentiment that equality means I'll get for nothing. You know? But the point out is you want, work for it. You want to be a doctor, you want the prestige, then work, go to school, do the things. Oh, I can't do that. So then do what you can and be satisfied. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Is people are not intelligent, not scientific. So the Brahminical platform, that's why, how will you be a devotee? You'll be so worried about these issues of equality and facility and who's in control, that when are you going to think about Krishna? Because when do these have any connection with Krishna? Because then and if you look at it, where's the basis of this concept of equality come from? Because in the spiritual world, they don't work on that. So where does it come from? That every living entity talks about it if they can pull it off. Even businessmen, if they think they'll make profit, they'll talk it, use it. Or a politician will use it. Or especially university intellectuals talk about it all day, because that's why they get paid. It comes down to I'm equal with Krishna. I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. So therefore, that's why it so easily and smoothly rolls off the tongue. You know what I'm saying? Because it's, you know, equity, liberty, fraternity is for me. And then I'll judge who else might be able to share in that. Right? You know, that's the whole thing, equity. But, you know, was it equal? That means they cut off the king's head. Did they cut off everybody's head? They're cutting off his head. Everyone should be equal. They should cut off everybody's head. You know? Something says, and the guillotine is such you could cut your own head off. You get in the thing because it has a lever, and then you get there and you're ready. You pull like that. So the last guy could have cut his own head off. And that way then everybody in France would have been equal. Yeah. So it means, you know, what does that mean? So what are they talking about? You know, fraternity, are they friends? Liberty, then, you know, I mean, just you look at it, it's not real. They talk about it, but where is it? Right? You know, it's just like, I think in France still, we can't register as a society. You know, a religious organization, because they don't support the secular. So how is that liberty? How is that freedom? How is that equity? You know what I'm saying? You know, it works for them, so they, you know, they're happy, but... Something?
Yeah, I was thinking that even religious people project what you were explaining right now into spiritual, which isn't spiritual, it's mm-hmm. heaven. But even in heaven, you don't endeavor, but mm-hmm. you have to maintain. So the whole idea of heaven is like I open the mouth, something's just flying in, or I just relax all day, I do nothing, and I just enjoy. But it's just opposite of the material struggle for existence. Mm-hmm. But then it's explained by the law of karma. So when your karma runs out, you have to endeavor. And spiritual world, as it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a constant endeavor. Mm-hmm. Like nobody is lazy there, nobody is doing nothing there. So mm-hmm. this is the real thing. It's endeavor for Krishna. Yeah. And everybody's happy with that yeah. endeavor. So yeah. it's just the wrong idea. So people project, because here it's, you know, it's pretty bad. So they think there it will be better. But it's just, Prabhupada calls it phantasmagoria.
Phantasmagoria, yeah. Because they're talking about, I'll have facilities, like some people already have on earth.
Yeah.
But those people that have them are thinking that they want better. So then they're also thinking heaven. So, you know, as it goes up, you know, what heaven means is just gets more and more developed. Yes.
But the Christian and Muslim saints, they said that on the heaven we will have different results according to our views here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So so that means your mass of people who just have faith and that's it, nothing else, they won't get as much as the people who are going regularly to church, and they won't get as much as the person who goes every day to church, and they won't get as much as the guy who actually lives in the church and does all the things like that.
The martyr.
Huh?
The martyr.
Yeah, and then the martyrs will get even more, you know, like that.
Sufi tradition was written that those who will serve without expectation of to get something, they will see the face of the Allah directly.
Mm. Oh, okay. So it hinted at bhakti. Yeah, because the others don't, they talk about heaven, they don't talk about seeing God or doing anything with God. It's kind of like.
Yes, they say veil will be open.
Veil covering will be open, so you'll see his face.
Of God?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but that's for the Sufis to say.
Yes, so, it was written in one hadith also that face of the God is covered by the thousand of the veils of the light, and he can remove it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that means it has to be personal. It has to be some service. It's not just, yeah. Huh. What is it? Yeah, there's always some hint. So there's always some hint. But then, as Narmuni pointed out to Vyasadeva, people won't notice the hint, they'll notice everything else. So therefore they get distracted.
Magarach, when you read these descriptions, the best stages of bhakti, and you understand that people who are actually very much into social issues, they are in no way on any of these levels, because they won't be interested in They won't be interested in social issues.
They wouldn't be.
Yeah, but why would you care about social issues when you already have... Because until you, because you either have a taste about Krishna or a taste about Maya. To that degree that you have taste for Krishna, the Maya, taste for Maya goes away. The more you have taste for Maya, then that much less will be the taste for Krishna. So that's the thing about the isms. They'll be considered like the... And issues, they'll be considered like the pinnacle of the pranamoy, because it gives that inspiration, it gives that drive, it gives that purpose, the identity, you know, so it's all...
Just these words.
Yes, yes. Is, you know, how you say, Greta's out again, you know, and all that, telling them that they're all bogus, you know, so...
You don't hear about her anymore so much.
No, but I saw a picture yesterday. She's just out again.
She is not young anymore. She's not cute anymore. So
she, yeah. I mean, the last thing I heard about her was that she was singing on a party. She's enjoying singing some songs. So
was it an organic party? Were they singing songs about saving the trees?
No, I don't think so.
And of course, it means the, how you say, the music was produced by, how you say, you know, machinery that was run off of solar and that. And
no plastic.
Yeah, no plastic. Everything was done by, how you say,
cow dung.
Yeah.
No
cow dung.
They don't like cows.
Yeah, they don't like cows. Oh, if you're Peta. So that's the thing, the
they don't like
Peta,
they don't like
where the vegans are, Peta, vegans, you know, this is Peta. Is that how you say it? Peta or Pita?
Pita.
Then they're against cows.
Mm.
Yeah. That's it. Devotees don't know that. They think that they're doing some nice social justice warrioring when actually it's just atheism. You know, those who have goshalas and make a scene about it, you know, they're trying to get people to donate to the goshala. But those who are just, you know, just by me being vegan, I'm supporting the cows, that's no. Yeah, so that's the difficulty with these isms, is that they don't get beyond the bodily platform. And they don't get beyond the political, economic platform. So it's sad. Popular. Okay, so the point was is that the Vaishnava means the Brahman is already at, is the perfection of human life, you know, the human form of life, in that they are following the rules and regulations as given in the scriptures, like that, out of duty, without expectation of return, right? So it'll be goodness, because it's basically not out of return. You know, ultimately there's some return, but on the when you're performing it, there's not. You know, once they get it, or, you know, what they expect, that's another thing, but it'll be minor. So basically you say, you know, like something slight, like the floor, you'll say that's white, basically. But if you check and look, really there's a lot of gray, there's some browns, but it's predominantly white, so you say... You know, so does that make sense? You know, so that's goodness. But then you see, is that unalloyed goodness, that pure goodness? You know, because here's where you have pure and then unalloyed, like that. So it's pure in that it's not about the material, but it's unalloyed and it's not about also liberation. Yeah, so pure Vaishnava is then a liberated soul. He's then above that. So that's the actual platform. So that means that there's still action. So you're working with a conditioned body, you know, being the gross and subtle body, it would, why wouldn't you engage it according to its nature? Right? Like a car, you'll engage it in the nature of the car. You know, or a coat, you'll use it like a coat. Isn't it? You know, shoes, you use like shoes, so why wouldn't you use the body and mind the way that they're supposed to be used? Does that make sense? So that's what Varnashram describes. Because otherwise, you can say we do whatever we like, but then you can't say it's human. And so then that becomes very difficult, that is subhuman and then, you know, and pure devotional service. Like that. It means if you're a Kinara or Kimpurusha, you can get away with it. Because, you know, they follow their duties. Kimpurushas do Kimpurusha stuff. Kinaras do Kinara stuff. Right? You know, and they mention in Bhagavatam. They don't say, yeah, well, we're devotees, so we're as good, we're everyone's equal. No, they say right in the Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, it says, you know, basically we're jungle people. You know, like that. And so, therefore, we're not very developed or very advanced. But by the Lord's grace, then we're able to absorb ourselves in Him and things like that. And so the devotion, like you don't, like it's not, you know, Hanuman jumps from tree to tree and that's why he's so wonderful. No, it's because of surrender to Ram and his service and that mood, that's what he's glorified for. You know, he's not glorified because he sits around and, you know, scratches, you know, his side, you know, whenever he feels like it. You know what I'm saying? So he's glorified for what he does for Krishna. That's what's that.
Yes. And this is seems to be very problematic, because when Srila Prabhupada writes, and very boldly, he says that devotee is higher than the Brahmana, but then we see, and the Pratyaksha proves otherwise, because in one sense, by practice of pure devotional service, we are higher, but then by the culture of or the lifestyle
or lack of it,
yes, or lack of it, we are much lower. So, you know, you always ask me so many times, how does that match?
It means it's the point is it's be like let us say, you know, you have somebody, just to give a kind of a gross example, then let's say you have somebody and they have a dog and the dog's on the leash.
Yeah.
And he's going into the veterinarian's office. Mm. And generally the dogs, once going there, they know the place. They don't forget, you know. It means elephants don't forget anything, dogs don't forget the vet. Everything else they might forget. Right? So the dog is reluctant, right? But the vet, I mean the owner of the dog is walking into the vets.
Yeah.
And the dog is, you know, pulling this. Sometimes even you see some of them even lay on the ground, you have to drag them like that. So that's what's happening. Is the purity, the force of bhakti is dragging this unwilling, conditioned nature. Because there's very few elements of it that you can connect to Krishna. Right? Because they're not, because it's a matter of consciousness. So neither the form is being connected, nor the endeavor is being connected, you know, nor the consciousness being connected. But when they do direct activities like chanting, going to the temple, things like that, then most of the time you see that it's directly. So that's what's dragging everything. And what they do in their personal life, that's what's being dragged. So devotional service is more powerful than karma jnana. It's not the other way around. So, but if they continue with the devotional service, eventually they'll get purified, and then those excess things that are the more trouble, you know, or least useful in devotional service will start to drop off. And so it'll just be less and less things, so the dragging won't be so difficult. But at some point when they see it, either they see the value of the these, you know, instruction, social, you know, social, economic, political instructions that Prabhupada and the Acharyas, the scriptures are giving, and follow that, then it just means you don't have to drag it anymore. And now it's progressive. Right? So in other words, if it's not, you're dealing with something that's transcendental, it has to drag what's regressive. So it should be what's transcendental is pulling along what's progressive. It's much quicker. But even if they don't, they go on their whole life, you know, like this, but they're nicely committed to the devotional process, then you'll see with time so many things will be reduced that there's no interest in anything. There's, you know, by purifying the heart, there's no interest in anything material. So they're not really doing anything. Does that make sense? They don't necessarily support the thing, but then they're absorbed in the Lord, it'll work. It'll still work. But then that means they go a whole lifetime with all these troubles. So the Vedas is just recommending from as early as possible, you know, it means from the age of 5, that you're, you know, taking part in the process and you know, devotional service with something progressive. Rather than spend, you know, so it means at 5 you start this process. And then that means very nicely and smoothly it goes. And then when you're 50 and you don't need that so much anymore, then it works. Otherwise, then you have to drag this along for, you know, the next 50 years. And then even then, because not using it in the practice and all that, people have to drag it longer. You know? Maybe we should figure out how to, you know, those you know, like the work songs. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow or another put either that to Hare Krishna or put some good lyrics and then, you know, make those more prominent. You know. You know,
I didn't catch that.
Work songs, like I did, at least I don't know, among some of the older cultures there's some songs where people do this really heavy labor, sometimes they sing some song.
Oh, yes, you know? I know. We have many.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you have these ones about, you know, they're relating to, I mean, you have the ones that they actually use during work, then you have the ones like that one that's about work, you know, the frustrations that come up from that. And they never have a song about work and talking about how fabulous and happy I am now because I'm a billionaire. Somehow they don't have a song like that.
Strange.
Yeah, very strange.
You think that would be...
Yeah, you'd think that it'd be like that.
So the first of May song.
First of May song.
Oh, okay.
Working class festival.
Working class festival, yeah. They got one day. Yeah, so sometimes they're saying we should make that because people want to work so hard like that. So it's either you get the emotional inspiration and that, you know, from Krishna consciousness and do your work, or you get it from issues or how bad things are, or some other, you have to use either, you know, dovetailed and spiritual, or you have to use your material. Point is a living entity being a conscious being then has to be inspired in some way or another, either by the spiritual and the material. You know, you can't get out of it that we're people and you need to be inspired. It's not going to happen.
We just came with the fifth chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Narada, with a lot of sarcasm, chastises Vyasa for indirect preaching. Mm-hmm. And
bridge preaching.
Well, I don't know. I call it indirect preaching. Or is there any other name for that? Indirect.
Soft.
Oh yeah, soft.
Soft preaching, soft indirect soft preaching.
Yeah.
Bridge makes it sound like something's happening. I'm creating a bridge, but it's not necessarily that anybody walks over it.
Yeah. Well, in Russian, preaching doesn't sound good.
Okay. Just,
so soft preaching or indirect preaching, it sounds better. So anyway, so he actually chastises him and says that those material propensities in the living entities, you actually stimulated those, you nourished those.
Mm.
So you should write something directly about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then I was thinking while explaining it to the students, and now because we both, we're doing the class together, so when my wife speaks, then I have time to think,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's actually advantageous. So I was thinking that it's a paradox.
So that means when she's speaking, you're thinking, and when you're speaking, she's practicing patience. So everybody gets benefit.
Exactly.
Everybody gets benefit.
It's, okay. Yeah, it's perfect, actually,
yeah.
For both. It's a win-win.
It's win-win.
So, but then I was thinking that in the seventh canto, which is at the first glance, it's kind of illogical.
Seventh.
That after, you know, the story of Prahlad Maharaj was told, and then he says, Shravan Kirtanam Vishnu, you know, he gives them, and it's the beginning of the pure devotional service right there.
Mm.
So, and then Narada, five last chapters, he's preaching Varnashrama, which is, but then it actually clicked to me that, well, I don't know, I just wanted to share that if we first preach Vedanta or pure devotional service, which includes everybody
mm-hmm.
by consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But there are always some people, they just can't relate. They're not on that level. So they're also not left out. And then Narada says, okay, in preparation for pure devotional service, there's Varnashram. So then I try to explain it to the students, and they, yeah. of course, agreed because they were all nice. Boys.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking it's an interesting. So he chastises him in the beginning, but then he does the same thing much later. So
the difference is that the one is that, see, because we'll look at it, if the aspect of karma is there, it's about the karma. No, it's about the bhakti. You know, it's just like, is it, when you're using a frying pan to cook, is it about the cooking or is it about the frying pan?
It's about cooking.
Yeah, so it's never about the frying pan. The frying pan is just the thing to use for that particular facet of cooking. But because we don't know about cooking, we only know about pots and pans, therefore we make it about the pot and pan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Narada Muni is talking about, is because you've brought it out in such a way, they'll go on in their ignorance thinking it's about the pot and pan, it's about devotional service. So, therefore, those who are attached to that pot and pan, then they will do those cooking things that use that particular pot or pan that they're attached to. Right? So they'll do those activities. But it's still about the cooking, it's not about the pot and pan. So it's karma yoga. His karma has been connected with devotional service through yoga. Now when later on when he's discussing it, you know, like he's saying in the seventh canto, and that, there he's describing this as the point of Daiva Varnashram, when it's about, I'm doing things just to please Krishna, so that means I have to perform an action. The action then needs to have a field of action to be performed. So what is that field? How do you identify it? Everything like that? What does it do? It is secondary. It's just a matter, I want to serve Krishna, so what can I do? You know, it's just like, let's say there's a festival happening and you come to the temple, everyone's busy, you come up to whoever is the person organizing and say, what can I do? Like that. Does that make sense? So then you see what's available. And then within that, then you apply that because it's about serving Krishna. So it's a matter, is it descending or ascending?
Mm.
That's all. So the two look, it means externally they'll look the same, but the mentality is quite different. So when we talk about Daiva Varnashram, that means the descending. Like that. But the same thing is what we would do, you can also, the mentality can be that it's, you know, instead of, you know, it'll be Varnashram Daiva. you know, the varnashram, and then you get, it's just a matter, is it sannyas or is it renunciation? Do I do it, it's my own karma, and then I give the result to Krishna, after I've gotten the result, it's my result, and I give it to Krishna, or it's Krishna's result, so therefore it's Krishna's work, and I'm Krishna's devotee, so I do this to please Krishna. But the work itself won't look any different. And that's the nice part about it, is that when you're dealing with the general Vedic society, they're going to work on all the rules and regulations and everything according to whatever is their particular, you know, family traditions and community traditions and, you know, all these kind of things. But our acharyas have already cut that down to just what's essential. You know, what does not get in the way of devotional service. And so that's why then for us, even if you're performing karma yoga with attachment, the form of it will look the same as someone who is on the platform of pure devotion who's not attached to it. So we've been given an advantage over your general standard Hindu, because they have to do all their local stuff. So that's what's so special that's been given to us, but does not seem, because we think, oh, if we're going to Varnashram, we have to go into all that. But that's not for us, and so they throw it out. No, you just have to do what Prabhupada said in his books, in his purport. You don't have to, details more than that. If you understand it, then you go as much detail as you require. You don't have to go more than that.
Also, in the connection with the ascending and descending, there is this aspect of whether we are seeing Bhagavan or whether we are seeing Brahman and Paramatma as well.
That's also very nice.
So, Narada Muni was triggering Vyasadeva to see and focus on the Bhagavan aspect. Then the result we see when he did his meditation, then he realized Swayam Bhagavan.
Right.
And then he wrote the Bhagavatam, the version of Bhagavatam, it was written later, it is related to Swayam Bhagavan. That's what is established in Tattva Sandarbha, showing it special because. And the main difference between the both approaches is when you say it's Bhagavan and when you describe Bhagavan as a Leela Avatar, it's he is performing pastimes and the devotees are there and the rest of the whole scene of the material world aligns to it. But when you just describe him as an Amsha, it's more about the material world is there, he comes out and makes everything, keeps everything in order and then goes away.
So it's part of
love. Amsha, it's more related to the Amsha category. So it's very different way of seeing the whole scene. When you see him as an Amsha, or whether we see him as Swayam Bhagavan. Because as Jiva Goswami says, the actual mode of goodness is when the devotees and Lord are interacting in the pastimes. And the mode of passion is when the Lord and the devotees appear. And the mode of ignorance, the time. The mode of ignorance is after the whole leela is finished and the Lord is again taking rest and the devotees are also with him. So the time actually is the only, the primary function of time, he says, is to facilitate these pastimes of the Lord. And all what else the time is doing in the material world is a secondary function of time. That's not the primary function. It's only arranging everything else in connection with one leela to the Lord, to the next leela. Like the Manavantara avatar, the leela avatar. Rest everything is filled in there, rather than he is coming to keep things in place.
Yeah, perfect. Also from that comes out the aspect of for looking at it, because you have that aspect of Paramatma or Bhagavan, is that if it's Paramatma, then like you said, he's controlling the creation, so then there's much more laws and rules and everything like that. But if it's Bhagavan, then it's about the devotees and that interaction based on devotion. So then the structure of the Varnashram for worshipping Paramatma is going to be much greater, much more detailed and specific, while the structure of Varnashram for the pure devotees is going to be much more streamlined. It's just how much is necessary for the pastime. So we've been given the opportunity, and what we've been given in Prabhupada's books is that Daiva aspect of the Bhagavan aspect. But because it's beyond, then we don't necessarily catch it, because we take it that the technical rules are the main thing. No, so those are just the support. So we may start from that. So then you can have people who are already functioning within the Vedic system, then they continue those and they connect that to the Lord and gradually move forward. You know, so then that will work nicely. But then if you have those who are coming in contact with devotional service, they don't have a background. Well, he came and then saw you and then he turned around and left.
He pointed to his watch here.
I don't know.
Can
go ask?
See?
Yes.
We were just talking about time. So.
Yes.
So he is human being.
Yeah. Either that or you're saying you're getting off topic. It's about time.
But it's very interesting that what Moshe is playing now is different. Different mood, actually, different flavor. You look from Balaban's point of view. Because the second one is more like you're trying to just make the material world a comfortable place.
Yeah.
With the assistance of Paramatma, and therefore he's.
Yes, the karma yoga. And so, and that karma yoga is such that it's the devotional process is dynamic. It can start off from seeing Paramatma and come through to Bhagavan, because it's the same person. It's just a matter of the mood, how you reciprocate, you see him in that way, he reciprocates that way. It's otherwise it's the same person.
Yeah. You know?
So that's the answer.
Yeah, he didn't know that the class is there, so simply come later to meet
Yes.
I want to clarify this point for you about soft preaching and direct preaching. Usually devotees who use this approach of soft preaching, they say that at least we want to give to people
the taste.
At least
the taste.
Minimum, they want to.
They want to give a taste. No, that's nice.
They told we want to give to people understanding that God exists. It will be first step for them if they approach.
Okay.
And, in context of our conversation, they want only to give them to do same step like yesterday, to give them understanding of Paramatma.
Yes, like that.
And
basically,
it will not work.
That's on a good day.
And it will not work in our conversation.
It doesn't really work so great, you know, because otherwise then you, in the context of their own kind of religious sentiment or background, you can bring up something, you know, whatever is accepted in general in the society. You could bring up that aspect. But the point is then, okay, you know about God, but then you should do something. Why it's only the knowledge? What about the activity and what about the result? Because that's why, just like you're saying, it's only that aspect. So it's only dealing with sat. Where's the chit? Where's the ananda? So it won't really do anything. Well, for us, is that they get a taste, you know, and they do some actual, like if they take prasad or hear kirtan, they're actually doing service. But if you're doing the soft preaching, even though it's meant going around here and there, how much of it is actually about Krishna?
Even Kali Yuga, this approach will not work very nicely. Why in this age we see that in all of different religions, only this approach is used, step by step, to rise people from the understanding of Paramatma to Brahmana?
It's the slow path. You mean the Vedas use it?
In Kali Yuga, it's in Kali Yuga, it will not work.
Well, there's another verse in, I think it's in Bhagavatam. I'm not sure where. It might be second chapter, or it might be somewhere else in the first canto. It ends with Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya. I mean, it's just that people don't want anything else and people don't know. Because the thing is people will give according to the value. I mean, it's like, what do you give to your children? What you value. So you can always see what the parent values by what they give to the children. They can talk, I've seen people totally, you know, they're the temple, they're there, always in the dhoti, doing everything, they're the pure devotee and all that, but when their kids are there, they go to karmi school. So you understand their actual value. Internal value. You know what I'm saying? You see that. I'm talking about where there's opportunity, their kids could go to the Gurukul and this and that, and they don't. You know? But you do see it. It's not so often, but you see that people like that, you know, on one side it's there, the great. But it's for the kids, is that, or somebody like that, they're engaged in the work and this and that, and slogging along, they can't come to the temple often, but they want their kid in the Gurukul. Because they want a better life for their kid than they went through. So you see what they give their kids. So the thing is that's it, is you give what's your value. So if that's all that's of value, just to know something about God. But if they're not atheists, they already do know something about God. And so bring that out. That's fine. Like that. But then bring it into, you have to do something practical. And then when they ask, what you can do practical, then, you know, then you start giving the things. Yes.
Also, the understanding is not complete when people think that just the soft preaching will solve everything. As is described in that Paramatma Sandarbha about the primary function of time is Lord, his pastimes, his devotees seem. And mode of goodness is when the devotees are appeared and performing the pastimes, the people who are sane, they participate, they get along, they assist the devotees and all. So that's the mode of goodness, and they are benefited in that time. And then the, you know, rakshasas and by opposing them, and they have their own time. So the point is, when the pure devotional service is propagated and it's practiced, all other things will have their place where they come and fit in automatically.
Okay.
So all we need to do is practice this. And at the same time, be aware when the people come, just include them rather than just being for ourselves.
Yeah, so that's the things that you include, yeah. Because the preaching means is that you're kind of showing how others can take advantage. Yeah. It's not a matter of just getting it so that they don't think we're crazy. For many people, it's just, if we can just give them an idea that what we're doing is okay. You know, just then that's for prestige. It's just that we're okay, we're nice guys. But we already had that before when all we did by modern, you know, definition was hard preaching. Everyone was out in their devoted clothes, right on the street, Hari Nam, book distribution. We were already accepted. We were, you know, so many movies, especially if anything was like a light or a comedy or this or that, they'd have us in the movie. And even some that weren't, some serious ones had us in the movie. Because we're already accepted by that, and that's all we have to do, all this soft. How many movies have we been in, you know, since this soft preaching's come up? I don't think one. It's like, who cares about, you know? It's like, so the point is that you have to do preaching. You might start from a platform and bring them up into it, but you have to end by bringing them to something, you know, substantial. You know, the chanting the holy name, taking prasad. Even as simple, these are the kirtans. I mean, why can't people take part in the Hare Krishna kirtan? They'll take part in anything else. You know? You know what I'm saying? You say, oh, well, they don't know what it means, or it means this or that. I mean, they go to a concert. I mean, do they know what the... I mean, how many people that go to a concert of, you know, Beethoven or Mozart or how you say... Pagini and those. Do they know Italian? Do they know Russian? You know, the 1812. They know Russian. You know, they know not. No, they appreciate. So why do they need to? They go to these concerts, you know, or even they go to a contemporary. Do anybody understands what they're saying, the words and the song? You know, a few words, but I've seen people that they say these are the words and so on. Those aren't the words. And they say something else. So they've both been listening to the same thing. So you go on forever thinking it's you know, I remember I was like, for maybe 40 years I thought it was, the song was Save the Children, it's just a shot away. And then I find out, no, it's War Children, it's a shot away. So, you know, you hear something, you can't tell how they talk, you know, the guys can't talk nicely, they're half, you know, they're, you know, at least, I mean, half stoned and half, you know, crazy, and so then they sing, you don't know what's going on. So then, you know, why is it we can't sing Hare Krishna? What's wrong with it? You know? Unless there's a rule in the community that singing is forbidden, you know, but I think that you would have problem doing kirtan, I think, with the Amish. I think they don't get into music. I think there's a couple of Christian sects, nothing, no music, no dancing, nothing. They're very strict about it. So with them, then it would be philosophy and prasad. But if they don't have that restriction, then I think you're good. You know, I mean, I can remember some senior devotees saying they were going along in some of these, you know, Central Asia and all that. And they'd be going, they'd be dressed as devotees. And they're going along, there's a big marriage party, you know, kind of out, you know, outside, big, huge thing. And, you know, because they're driving by, they call them over, you know, because it's, you know, like that, you know, because we're having, come eat and this and that. And then they come and they see the chef, who are you? You know, we're you know, they're there. You know, the yogis and stuff like that, and they, you know, like this occasion, so, you know, can we sing a song? And the whole marriage party is dancing and singing Hare Krishna. And not only that, then afterwards, then they say, oh, we know a friend who's also having, this is so good, we know another friend who's having a marriage at the same time. You know, can you go there also and do kirtan? Like that. And so it's like, you know, everybody likes it. And so that we're the ones that are afraid. And even if they don't like it, at least you tried. You know? I think that was, I don't know, it's a theme. Sometimes you see is that, the father and the son, and the son's scared of doing this, that, and the father's thing is, you know, but, you know, do something. No, but what if it doesn't work? And his father's thing is, at least you tried.
Yes. One devotee who just came here, he was mentioning he stays in which side, I forgot, in US, generally where not many devotees are there. But then one of the senior devotees, he came, and there are a group of kirtanis. And whatever other devotees thought could not happen, they show everything can happen. He just doing kirtan, and all these American so-called, you know, conservative, they're calling them in their shops, doing kirtan, and he can pick up anything what he wants, take it for free.
People want to see conviction. If you're convinced and you like doing it, that's what people are looking for. That's all. There's nothing else. It's not that, oh, it's this, it's foreign, it's not. It means, what is American? You know what I'm saying? The northern half of America's in general is Germans, and the southern half in general is English. So what's what? So does that mean in the northern part of they eat burgers and the southern part they don't, because burgers are technically a German thing? You know, say so it means like that, and in the south they all eat crumpets. I mean, you know, what are they talking about? What's the culture? What is this? You know, how do they do? You can't name it. It can be anything. So that's the point, is that if you're doing what you like to do and you're sharing it, why others wouldn't want to take pride? So this whole thing, it's a very miserly kind of thing and very xenophobic. You know, it's like we're more xenophobic than they are. Like that. Does that make sense? Like, I remember one devotee, He was telling us he was traveling on the bus in South, deep South. And he was sitting next to some guy, and he was talking and this and that, and you know, conversation going. He asked him because he was dressed as a devotee. And he's going, and you know, nice conversations. And when it comes on in time, you find out that this means one. The guy I think was you know, from African American descent. And besides that, is that we get into it, and backgrounds and this and that. The guy who was sitting with him on the bikes had just gotten out of prison. He had just been released from prison, and he was taking the bus back to wherever he was from. You know? And so, and they're talking Krishna consciousness and this and that. And, you know, and this is deep South where if anybody is famous in America for having, being a bit, you know, xenophobic, it's there. But he found that South was way more accommodating than in the North. The North is they have their philosophy. If you don't agree with their philosophy, they don't want it. Well, in the South, it's you're a person, they're a person, let's talk. And, you know, if we can talk nicely, then it's cool. And if you're grumpy like a Northerner, then we don't want to talk to you. So it's so different. Each region is so different from the other to say, this is America. You know, it's not like it. I mean, it's like how big was Sparta, right? It was like one district. Therefore, he could say, this is Sparta. But you can't say, this is America, because it's like, you know, it's like they're going down the street, burning down the shops, and burning the buses. This is America. You know, who wants to come to a place like that? You know, I want to go to work. They just burned my bus. You know, it's like, yeah, it's just, yeah. Does that make sense? So it's you have to see is that this idea is out nowhere in America. We have to do it. What is that American thing? Because I can guarantee you what they're doing is an American. I know tons of Americans who would never even think of doing what they're doing as an American. Literally. They would consider them not proper Americans. So it's just anybody who is of that and afraid and this and that, that's not American. American means the maverick. He goes out there. He gets it done. He makes it happen. No one else is doing it. He does it. He makes it happen and becomes glorious. That's America. That he fits in, does it. Then why did they come to America? They could have fit in, you know, in Europe.
Just opposite.
Yeah, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. American means you're into it, you're convinced, you do it. You don't care what anybody else says. That's the maverick. That's the American. You know what I'm saying? That's so this whole thing is, that's why Americans would go to any place on the planet, and because they're doing convinced about it, everybody else has to do it. And so then that's why they established all the yatras.
So
we're the American. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Congratulations. That's why America, they speak only English. Everybody else has to learn their language.
Just us. Yeah.
It's such a easy.
Yeah. You know, like this class, it's in English. You know? I mean, we're here, we should be speaking in Bengali or at least Hindi. No, we're speaking in
English. No,
Hindi. No, Hindi.
Yeah,
but what's it go for? To the southern states and forget Hindi. Actually, most of India doesn't like Hindi. Strange. Yes.
Maharaj, can you say that like the link you got is like maximum goes to Shantarasa? If you just believe in God.
Just believing. Yeah, well, I mean, believe means you have an appreciation. But because the thing is, you also have to understand is that we're not taking it as an end. It means if you stop there, it's an end, then yes. But for us, because we're going up through the sadhana, we're going to, in mentality, go through that all the rasas, however far it is that you go. So if someone's going to parental, they'll go up through Shanta, Dasya, what do you call it?
Shakya.
Shakya, then to Vatsalya, and there, they'll go up to that much. Because first you appreciate, then you have the mood of service, and that possession of service, then you have that vishramba that was the word, vishramba. Of not seeing the grandeur is not a problem. you know, and then it's that care, and then it gets like this, it goes. So you're going to go up through it anyway. So that thing of appreciation is this first point, but why would you spend the whole time just on appreciation without telling about everything else? You appreciate, and now what? You know, it'd be just like, let us say we go to the middle school, right? And in there, then the teacher is talking about appreciation of art and why it's so important and this and that, and spends the whole class talking about that. But after that, never shows them any art, teaches them any art, takes them to a museum or a place where they have art. They just talked about that, and now it's up to you to work it out. You know what I'm saying? The whole point is it's natural. You're going to talk about it and show it. Does that make sense? You know, so you don't have an art appreciation class where there's no art. You know? Does that make sense?
Because that's the real thing, that's the catch. The art is the...
Yeah, the art is the thing. The appreciation is there. So it's like, you know, means you use it. Starting with subtleties and that is not a problem. It's just that your mentality should be, so then as soon as... If your mentality is, I want to teach them, you know, bring them in contact with Krishna and Krishna consciousness and the chanting of the holy name Prasad, then you may start at that subtle point. But as you speak... And you see opportunities or questions, you're immediately going to put those in. You're not going to, oh no, I won't talk about that because, you know, we're given 6 weeks. In 6 weeks, you don't know if they'll keep coming back. They're there now.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I had this experience. In my short career as a soft creature, I did this. We went to university with two schools, and I gave a lecture, and there were like 30 people, students, even teachers. And then at the end, I thought I was following the proper procedure, how I should present the things.
Softly following the procedure.
Yeah, just tiptoeing around and stuff. So,
but it wasn't tulips, right?
Huh?
No tulips. Tulips, you know, in Holland they have those flowers.
Oh yeah, no. but stuff like that. So then at the end, two or three persons, they came up to me and they said, they appreciated the thing, but they said, well, we thought that you're going to actually say something more, like something, they were hinting that I just basically gave a very long introduction.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we tried to pull some of these people back to our place, this was the strategy that we had followed, so we just throw them in and then some of them will actually go. Then actually three or four persons only showed. Because I lost them there. I didn't create interest because I didn't tell them the thing they were looking for.
Because the thing is karmis are more aware than we give them credit for. It's like animals. They're way more... Means when it comes to eating, sleeping, mating, defending, they fully understand that. So if humans are doing that, they understand it. You know? It's just beyond that they can't understand.
We underestimate people.
We underestimate. And the karmicists, they know these things. They've heard these same things. How many yogis come through? How many this? How many that? How many guys are talking all kinds of philosophy and you have hardcore, you know, you see some of these, even some of the celebrities nowadays, they're really hardcore, you know, on something. You know, if you're not doing charity, you know, this or that, or if you're not, working hard, if you're not doing exercise, like this, they really get into something. If some of them get into their own philosophy, and if, you know, if you're, you know, some of the comedians, you know, they're total atheists, and if you believe in God, you're an idiot. You know, so they really go for it. And some people are exposed to that, so it's just like if you can present it nicely, and they've come to your program, they want to hear about it. You know, they're not. Huh.
Well, we were talking about time.
Yes, we were.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.